Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, October 19th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
China's economic growth slows to the most sluggish pace since the financial crisis.
Stocks in China, meanwhile, finish the week on an upbeat note after a volatile session.
And bonds in Italy fall as pressure mounts over the country's budget.
President Trump says it certainly looks like Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi is dead, and the consequences will have to be very severe. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, the Islanders put up a touchdown in L.A. The Broncos put up six of them in the desert, and the Red Sox headed to the World Series.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And we're seeing no clear direction for global stocks today, with European equities falling and U.S. futures gaining. It is 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 4 points, Dow futures up 35, NASDAQ futures up 16. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%, CAC in Paris down 0.8%, FTSE 100 down less than 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.6%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 3.17%, yield on the 2-year 2.87%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3%, up 22 cents to $68.87 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change, down 60 cents to $12.29.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1448, and the yen, 112.43. Nathan.
Karen, let's begin with economic data out of China that shows the economy there slowed more than expected in the third quarter. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
GDP increased 6.5% from a year earlier, compared to 6.6% in a Bloomberg survey. Industrial output up 5.8% last month versus a forecast of 6%. Now, the chief headwinds are China's own deleveraging campaign and the trade war with the United States. The heads of the central bank, the banking and insurance regulator, and the securities regulator all issued statements of support for the battered equity market. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. And that battered equity market staged a turnaround today, with Chinese stocks reversing early losses in the session. We get the details from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Well, a verbal intervention from China's top financial officials was enough to turn sentiment around in Asia Friday, as the CSI 300 rose nearly 3% and the Shanghai Composite rebounded from four-year lows, although it was still a down week for Asian markets. The Nikkei 225 closed down 0.6% Friday, Japan's most closely watched gauge of inflation edging up again in September. Elsewhere, Taiwanese stocks were lower, Australian markets were flat, and the KOSPI rose by 0.4% in South Korea. Juliet Saleh, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Juliet, as you say, the comments from Chinese officials did boost stocks, but analysts and traders say it'll likely provide just a short-term lift. Mark Franklin is senior portfolio manager at Conning Asia Pacific.
Policy making in terms of encouraging growth needs to be more pronounced, needs to be more positive than it's been so far. And there's this sense that the PBOC in particular has been a little bit behind the curve. So investors have been calling for triple R cuts, and about a month later it comes and it's too late. So right now they need to get on the front foot and encourage investors to start allocating risk to China again.
And at the same time, data from Hong Kong is sparking fresh concerns over trade. The city, which is one of the world's busiest ports, saw the slowest container traffic growth in 2.5 years in September.
In Europe, pressure is mounting over Italy's budget, with EU leaders warning the populist government that its plan won't fly. Bloomberg's Kevin Costello has more from Rome.
If you look at the letter from the European Commission to the Italian government, they're pretty clear that they're not going to back down. And on the other hand, Deputy Premier Matteo Salvini says he's not going to back down either. But it's the bond spread that in the end may force the two sides to some sort of compromise, probably more on the Italian side.
Bonds in Italy are falling again today, with a spread over German yields reaching the highest level since 2013.
And meanwhile, Europe's teaming up with Asia for a campaign against President Trump's policies on trade, as well as climate change and Iran. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live with the latest from London. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Asia-Europe summit in Brussels wraps up today. The EU said government leaders agreed on a draft statement recognising the need to uphold the open world economy. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said the summit shows countries want rules-based world trade and a commitment to multilateralism. The meeting highlights the global political manoeuvring to address the consequences of Trump's America First agenda. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. Ramped up trade tensions between the U.S. and China has one Chinese airline considering a big change. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. For more than 30 years, Xiamen Airlines has operated Boeing jets exclusively. Now comes word their executives have been in talks with Airbus on a potential plane purchase. Sources tell us Xiamen is predominantly interested in the longer-range version of the A321 narrow-body planes from Airbus, though the talks are still at an early stage and the size of a potential order hasn't been set. The carrier currently has more than 170 Boeing jets. China's aviation market is expected to become the world's biggest early next decade. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Nathan.
All right, thank you, John. In other corporate news, Tesla is starting to take orders for its less expensive $45,000 Model 3. Now, the long-promised $35,000 version is still nowhere to be found, but Tesla is slowly inching closer to that price point.
Shares of PayPal are up 6.5% in early trading. The company reported earnings that beat estimates and said it's making progress toward monetizing its popular mobile payment service, Venmo.
AIG expects to report third quarter catastrophe losses as high as $1.7 billion. That's due to natural disasters like Hurricane Florence. The insurer estimates additional losses tied to Hurricane Michael as high as $500 million. Shares of AIG fell 4% in late trading.
Meanwhile, shares of DuPont, or Dow DuPont, also slumping in late trading, falling 2.7% after the company took a $4.6 billion charge at its agriculture business. The charge reflects weaker markets for farm products since last year's merger with Dow Chemical. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 now on Wall Street. Michael Barr has arrived to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Good Friday morning, Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump is again indicating he's prepared to take action against Saudi Arabia if it turns out to be warranted. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has more on a missing Washington Post journalist.
The president is back to tougher talk after earlier insisting there should be no rush to judgment. While telling reporters that he's still waiting for results of as many as three investigations, Trump sounded resigned to the belief that Jamal Khashoggi was indeed killed. As he put it, it certainly looks that way to me. And the U.S. response to that?
Well, it'll have to be very severe. I mean, it's bad, bad stuff. But we'll see what happens.
The exodus from a Saudi investment forum has grown, with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Goldman Sachs canceling while Fox Business pulled out as a media partner. Bloomberg had pulled out of the event earlier. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump praised Republican Congressman Greg Gianforte for assaulting a reporter who asked him a question on the eve of a special election last year. Trump, during a campaign rally in Missoula, Montana last night, said any guy that can do a body slam, he's my kind of guy. Trump also repeated his threat to send the military to the southern border to confront a caravan of Honduran migrants making their way through Central America.
I just want to thank the Mexican government because they're stopping it, hopefully, before it ever gets to Mexico.
President Trump's chief of staff, John Kelly, and National Security Advisor John Bolton engaged in a heated argument outside the Oval Office yesterday. That's according to three people who say Kelly and Bolton fought over immigration and border crossings. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis says it's too early to tell how yesterday's killing of a police general in southern Afghanistan will impact voter turnout in the nation's parliamentary elections tomorrow.
We need to find who's done this. But right now, we are going toward the election, and we will continue to defend the Afghan people.
Mattis called the attack the tragic loss of a patriot in Afghanistan. The Mega Millions lottery jackpot has grown to $970 million, and chances are the jackpot will get higher by tonight's drawing. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Islanders found their midseason stride in L.A.
And now a shorthanded chance for Ladd. It's a 2-on-0. Ladd and Phil Pelletier score! Shorthanded goal for Valtteri Filppula. And the Islanders come back to restore their two-goal lead.
MSG Plus on the call. The rout was on at Staples Center as the Islanders buried the Kings 7-2. Six separate aisles scored. New York pulled back to 500. Devils not as fortunate at home, falling 5-3 to the Avalanche thanks in part to a hat trick from Gabriel Landeskog. World Series, Red Sox beat the Astros 4-1 in Houston. J.D. Martinez homered, his second of the postseason. Red Sox win the series in five games, advance to the World Series, where they await the winner of the Dodgers and Brewers. Game 6 is Friday from Milwaukee, with the Dodgers leading 3-2. NFL kicked off week 7 from the desert, where the Broncos crushed the Cardinals 45-10. It wasn't all offensive.
Pressure coming, quick toss, and it's intercepted. Threw it right into the hands of Chris Harris at midfield. Veers right to the 40. Harris to the 30. High steps a man at the 20, and he's going to high step his way into the end zone with a high five for Todd Davis as he gets 6.
Westwood won 1 of 3 Josh Rosen interceptions. 2 were pick sixes. He finished with a quarterback rating of just 44. Emmanuel Sanders, the big game, receiving for Denver, 102 yards and a score. Jets host the Vikings Sunday while the Giants are in Atlanta on Monday night. In an NBA note, LeBron James scored 26 in his Lakers debut, but they were beaten by Portland 128-119. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, thank you, Rob. Hey, start your engines. Join us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports show tonight when we speak with 5-time IndyCar Series champion Scott Dixon. We wave the green flag for that tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio. You can always download our Apple podcast on iTunes to listen to the Bloomberg Business of Sports. S&P futures up 3 points, a gain of 0.1%. Dow futures ahead by 34. That's a 0.1% gain. NASDAQ futures up by 16 points. That is a gain of 0.2%. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Withum, Smith & Brown. Audit, tax, and advisory services helping you and your business to be in a position of strength. Experience the Withum way by visiting Withum.com.
America's Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are struggling as investors weigh the outlook for corporate profits against the positive mood from China, where equities rebounded from a 4-year low as financial regulators vowed to keep risks under control. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, and U.S. stock index futures, they're higher. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 40, NASDAQ futures up 19. The DAX in Germany's down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 3.17%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.87%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 37 cents to $69.02 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change at $12.30.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.14.48. The yen, 112.41. Honeywell International headlines a list of 10 companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Bloomberg Intelligence says the conglomerate is coming off another strong quarter with profits driven by commercial aviation, defense, and warehouse and process automation. Honeywell should have no trouble meeting or exceeding its organic growth target for the quarter. Forecasts are for Honeywell to post an adjusted profit of $1.99 a share on revenue of more than $10.75 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump said it certainly looks like missing journalist Jamal Khashoggi is dead and warned of very severe consequences for the killing. Khashoggi, a critic of the Saudi government, went missing more than 2 weeks ago. He was last seen entering the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Politico is reporting that President Trump is seriously considering Richard Grenell, the U.S. ambassador to Germany to replace Nikki Haley as his administration's representative at the U.N. In baseball, the Red Sox are heading to the World Series. Boston won the ALCS in Game 5, beating the Astros 4-1. In the NHL, the Islanders won. The Devils lost along with the Bruins. In the NBA, the Wizards lost. Thursday night football, the Broncos galloped over the Cardinals 45-10. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We're coming up on 520 now on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak as we're joined now by Nicholas Gartside. He's the CIO for International Fixed Income at J.P. Morgan Chase. Good Friday morning, Nicholas. Thanks for joining us. And I've got to imagine your eye is on this broad gap between Italian and German bonds now with the budget fight in Brussels, in Italy. How far could this sell-off in Italian bonds go?
Well, you're right. We're really in the middle of this tussle between Brussels and Rome. But, of course, it's not just Rome, because other countries are also looking to expand their deficits. So the real underperformer this morning actually is Spain. So we've got this global theme at the moment where central banks are tightening monetary policy, and the ECB is in very early stages. We're seeing governments offset that with more fiscal stimulus. So in a Eurozone context, it's not just Italy today, it's also Spain.
Well, that's interesting because there's been so much talk about the EU possibly sending the Italian budget back to Rome. I mean, is there a possibility that the Spanish budget could be rejected as well?
So that's unlikely because it's a very different context when you look at the Spanish budget. Firstly, it's a smaller deficit. And also the situation in Spain's a little different. Spain does have a stronger growth rate. But the message here is that we're in for a period actually of political volatility when you look at the Eurozone. And these tussles between Brussels and different governments are just likely to continue.
So what could that mean perhaps for overseas investors who might be looking for higher yield?
So we could well see higher yields, and that probably presents an opportunity. One of the consequences of that volatility could well be higher yields, and investors could be looking to take the other side of that.
You see any late cycle stresses showing up in the credit markets?
No, we're certainly late cycle. The critical distinction, though, is we're not end of cycle. And so the key, really, when you're looking at credit markets, is having a handle on when that next recession starts. And our sense is that that is not an imminent threat. So we're absolutely in an environment where bond selection becomes critical. But the really important point is it's late, not end.
It's interesting you say that you don't see the possibility of a recession anytime soon. I mean, the emerging markets have been hammered of late. Are there signs that things could be turning around in emerging markets?
Oh, definitely. And again, if you look today, I mean, the Chinese growth number was 6.5%. So that's a growth number that's a little lower in China. But again, let's put that in some perspective. It's a growth number that we in the West can only dream about. So when you look at emerging markets, they've had a brutal readjustment this year. But actually, fundamentals look pretty good. So the risk in emerging markets, as odd as it sounds, is that growth is a little stronger, not weaker, as we look forward.
Yeah, and you mentioned China's growth picture. And we're seeing, of course, China trying to stem the sell-off in equity markets with assurances there. Does that matter in your world?
Oh, very much so. And the other feature of China, of course, is that that's one of the areas of the world where they can use monetary policy still. So one of the tools they've used is that triple R rate, the reserve ratio requirement, which they've cut four times this year. So that's the other aspect of Chinese policymaking. They've got the tools to help deal with the growth slowdown. The impact then, of course, in fixed income is probably lower yields.
And just quickly looking at the U.S. yield picture, do you think the Fed's on the right path here in terms of gradual hikes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you look at the U.S., let's be honest, it's an economy that is just dynamite at the moment. It's an economy on fire, unemployment at half-century lows, and the trajectory of growth again is up. So the Fed are doing exactly the right thing.
Nicholas Gartside, CIO for International Fixed Income at J.P. Morgan Chase. Thanks for the insights on this Friday morning. The yield on the 10-year is at 3.17%. Two-year Treasuries at 2.87%. S&P futures up by 3 points. Dow futures up 31. NASDAQ futures gaining 16 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Everyone knows.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. So let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing a mixed picture in global equity markets to close out the week. U.S. futures higher. European averages lower, though. Stocks in China surged 3% as financial regulators there vowed to keep risks under control.
The U.S.-China trade dispute is helping take a toll on the Chinese economy. Economic growth slowed more than expected in the third quarter, with GDP rising 6.5% from a year ago. That's the slowest pace since 2009.
In the meantime, Bloomberg News has learned China's Xiamen Airlines, which has been an exclusive operator of Boeing jets for more than 30 years, is in talks with Airbus on a potential plane purchase. The move comes amid growing trade tensions between Beijing and Washington.
Bonds in Italy are falling as pressure mounts over the country's budget. Bloomberg's John Fallane reports from Brussels.
Italian Premier Giuseppe Conte is finding his 2019 budget a hard sell. At a European summit in Brussels, he got a thumbs down from Mark Rutte, the Dutch Premier, and from Sebastian Kurz of Austria. The European Commission sent a letter to say the spending plans are excessive, and the spread with German bonds reached a five-year high. In Brussels, John Fallane, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, John. Oil is poised for a second weekly drop after a larger than expected gain in American crude stockpiles. Checking oil right now, Brent's trading at $79.97, while West Texas Intermediate's at $69.04 on the NYMEX.
Procter & Gamble and Honeywell International lead 10 companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today.
Shares of American Express rose 1% in extended trading. The company boosted its forecast for profit for the year as it trimmed fees to attract smaller businesses.
Shares of PayPal up more than 6% in early trading. The company exceeded earnings estimates and said it's making progress toward monetizing Venmo, the popular mobile payment service.
While in Europe, shares of Michelin are down 7%. The French tire maker warned of declining sales in Europe and China in the second half of the year.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 5 points right now. Dow futures up 49 and NASDAQ futures up 23. The DAX in Germany moving lower, down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.17%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.87%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 41 cents to $69.06 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1% of $1.10 to $12.31.20 an ounce. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 now on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr. He's got more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump warned of very severe consequences if missing journalist Jamal Khashoggi was killed. Trump told reporters, "It certainly looks that way to me, and the consequences will have to be very severe." Trump says he's waiting for the results of about three different investigations. President Trump held a rally last night in Montana to stump for Republican candidates running in next month's midterms. Speaking to a crowd in Missoula, the president praised GOP Congressman Greg Gianforte, who pleaded guilty last year to misdemeanor assault after he body slammed a reporter right before the special election.
By the way, never wrestle him. You understand that? Never. Any guy that can do a body slam, he's my kind of...
Gianforte is running against Democrat Kathleen Williams and Libertarian Eleanor Swanson on November 6th. Top Republicans are going to get an opportunity to interview Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
A major topic expected to be discussed is a New York Times report last month that suggested the possibility of invoking the constitutional provision that allows the cabinet to remove the president. A report denied by Rosenstein. Under oath, he will appear before Republican and Democrat members of the Judiciary and Oversight and Government Reform Committees, two each. Conservatives in the House have said Rosenstein has not cooperated with Congress with regard to the Mueller investigation and hasn't been transparent about his conduct. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
It looks like President Trump appears to have been personally involved in discussions on a new headquarters building for the FBI. Bloomberg's Martin DeCaro has more from Washington.
Citing emails between the White House and General Services Administration, House Democrats say the president put in the order to scrap plans to move the FBI headquarters to the suburbs. Democrats say Trump did that because he wants the government to maintain control of the current FBI location to prevent it from falling into the hands of a competing developer so close to Trump's hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue. The GSA says it was the FBI, not Trump, who chose to stay in the city. Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Radio.
Britain should ban gasoline and diesel-fueled cars by 2032 in a shift toward zero-emissions vehicles. That's according to a panel of lawmakers from the main parties in Parliament. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks very much. It is 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Islanders took out their aggressions in L.A., torching the Kings 7-2 at Staples Center. Six separate Islanders scored, and for Coach Barry Trotz, he said it was a complete team effort.
During the season, your top guys are going to get hot. They're going to score a lot of goals for you, and then maybe the bottom part of your lineup doesn't. And then when your top guys aren't maybe scoring as much as you'd like to see them, you know, you get that bottom part of your lineup scoring, and that's how we're gonna have success.
New York is 3-3 on the year. Devils saw too much of the Avalanche at home, not to mention Gabriel Landeskog, who netted a hat trick in a 5-3 win. Baseball, the Red Sox made quick work of the Astros in five games with a 4-1 win in Houston, sending Boston to the World Series. Red Sox first-year manager Alex Cora.
They did an outstanding job. Well, offensively, they were amazing. You know, battling since the fifth inning, game one, we start battling at bats and trying to win every pitch. And if it wasn't in the zone, we were going to take it.
Red Sox await the winner of the Dodgers Brewers on Friday. They play game six in Milwaukee. L.A. leads 3-2. Week seven of the NFL, all Broncos 45-10. They routed Arizona rookie quarterback Josh Rosen and the Cardinals. Rosen had three interceptions. Two were pick sixes. Broncos QB Case Keenum.
Two pick sixes like that, and I don't know how many turnovers they had, but really, really nice for us starting to feel with great field position, you know, just being able to run our offense and operate, like we want to do. So defense played incredible.
Jets entertain the Vikings Sunday while the Giants head south to Atlanta for Monday Night Football. In NBA, Lakers dropped their season opener in Portland 129-118. LeBron James had 26 in a losing cause in his debut. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you very much. 5:37 now on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on the battle for e-commerce in India. Brad Stone wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
It's such an open frontier. So 1.3 billion people, second most populous country in the world. You know, China is pretty much in the iron grip of Alibaba and JD.com at this point. So India is the big opportunity.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report. Happy Friday, Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Same to you, Nathan. New York State officials are thinking about blocking parts of the CVS-Aetna merger. At a hearing yesterday, the head of the State Department of Financial Services called approval of the deal myopic. and asked for proof that the merged company would deliver on promises to lower prices. New York developer Silverstein Properties has built a $4 billion pipeline of real estate deals just weeks after starting out. None of the money was for buildings it will own. The developer has jumped into property lending as demand for financing grows and yields are more attractive. And Atlantic City might be the East Coast capital of competitive video gaming. Isle of Man-based Continent 8 is building a $5 million data center at the Atlantic City Convention Center. And Stockton University is joining the Eastern College Athletic Conference Intercollegiate Esports Competition. They're building a competition room at the Galloway campus. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Tesla's directors being sued for failing to control Elon Musk's tweets.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Dow DuPont cut the asset value of its agriculture business by $4.6 billion.
I'm Anna Edwards on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following government plans to ban new petrol and diesel cars in order to reach zero emissions by 2040.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing could face a blow as a Chinese airline that's used its jets exclusively for more than three decades is in talks with Airbus on a potential purchase.
I'm Ed Corey. On KFBK in Sacramento, I'm reporting Apple plans a product announcement October 30th in Brooklyn.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Futures contracts pick up a bit of steam this morning with S&P futures ahead by 5 points or 0.2%. Dow futures also up 0.2%. That's a gain of 54 points. NASDAQ futures 25 points higher. That is a gain of 0.3%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth accountants and advisors have helped closely held and family businesses reach their goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/success.
Bloom 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning are on the rise with S&P futures up 5 points, Dow futures up 48, NASDAQ futures up 25. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.17%, yield on the 2-year 2.87%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 34 cents to $68.99 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.20 to $12.31.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1452, and the yen's at 112.40. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Democratic senators are demanding a full accounting from President Trump and his family business of their financial ties to Saudi Arabia. The letter from 11 senators follows reports that Saudi agents, who Turkish officials say killed and dismembered journalist Jamal Khashoggi at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, have close links to the highest levels of the Saudi government. Election officials and federal cybersecurity agents are touting improved collaboration aimed at confronting and deterring efforts to tamper with elections. In baseball, the Red Sox are heading to the World Series. Boston won the ALCS in Game 5, beating the Astros 4-1. In the NHL, the Islanders won. The Devils lost along with Bruins. NBA, the Wizards lost. Thursday night football, the Broncos galloped over the Cardinals 45-10. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:48 now on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're joined now from Beijing by Emma O'Brien, Bloomberg News Managing Editor. Emma, thanks for being with us as we're seeing finally now a rebound in Asian equities following the multi-day slide we've been watching over the last several days. Those comments from Chinese officials seem to be what investors were looking for.
Yeah, maybe. Though when they did come out with those comments, which was early this morning Asian time, it was a rare sort of show of verbal intervention. We had the central bank here, the securities watchdog, and the banking and insurance regulator talking very reassuringly, as you said, including promises of financial support for local businesses, that sort of thing. But the reaction was not probably as overwhelming as we might have thought. It did sort of staunch the losses in Chinese stocks and definitely see Asian equities come back a little bit, as it sort of shows that the Chinese government is willing to sort of go into bat for what is a very retail investor dominated equity market. So that poses a bit of a political risk for them. But what we did see in China, which was quite interesting, was a very late in the day rally. We often see these when the market is down too much, as deemed by the authorities, and sometimes they tap the state-backed fund managers to come into the market. It closed up 2.7%, suggesting that's what may have happened in this case, though we don't know for sure.
Are these comments going to be enough to buoy the markets when the Chinese economy still faces so many headwinds from domestic pressures as well as the trade war?
Yeah, well, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. They probably won't be enough. And because there wasn't this overwhelming rally in the market here when those initial comments came out, I think that's quite telling that people are still worried. It came on the same day as quite disappointing and slower than expected Chinese GDP data. So that probably outweighed any sign from the authorities that they're willing to go into bat for the market.
Let's turn to perhaps a sign that the trade war could be affecting the way certain Chinese companies are thinking. I'm loath to say a sea change in the air, but that may be what we're looking at from Xiamen Airlines.
Yeah, very interesting story. This is a Chinese airline that's been an exclusive operator for Boeing, of Boeing jets for more than 30 years. And now we're hearing that they're in talks with Airbus for the first, really good, really sort of engaged talks for the first time ever. Now, we don't know what's sort of going on behind the scenes, but it does indicate that perhaps this trade war is moving into a different territory. It has been dominated by tariff tit for tat, as you said, and we have still got some tariff action potentially from Donald Trump, who has threatened to tariff everything that China exports. But on the tariff side, China doesn't have much ammunition left because it doesn't import as much from the U.S. And so there is speculation that they will turn to other things. And whether this is part of that, we don't know, but it's an interesting development.
And it is interesting indeed. And in our last minute here, is it a sign perhaps that more Chinese companies could be thinking of shifting away from U.S. suppliers?
Potentially. I mean, China does have a track record of using its companies and using sort of other means to get its political points across. We saw that with boycotts that were encouraged of some of the Korean cosmetic makers when they agreed to station a U.S. missile defense the situation there in Korea. So China does have form on that front. Whether that's what's happening now, remains to be seen.
Emma O'Brien, Bloomberg News Managing Editor, joining us from Beijing. Thanks for these insights. Really appreciate it. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. It is 5:52 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenges status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Senator Kamala Harris, Democrat from California, has outlined a tax plan that would provide up to $500 a month in refundable tax credits to households that make less than $100,000 a year. Endangered salmon will see new protections after the EPA and Washington State agreed to settle a lawsuit brought by environmental advocates. And five trade groups of internet service providers are suing Vermont's governor over the state's net neutrality regulations. Vermont, one of four states that have barred ISPs from slowing web traffic after the FCC scrapped net neutrality rules.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at the Trump administration's new ultimatum for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The White House tells the California-based court it must rule on DACA before the end of the month, or the administration will take the case back to the Supreme Court. For more on this development, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Leon Fresco, partner at Holland & Knight, and former Deputy Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Immigration Litigation at the U.S. Department of Justice Civil Division.
Leon, how unusual is it for the administration to write a letter to an appeals court warning the judges to issue a decision or else?
Well, it is extremely unusual. The last time I remember this happening was the Texas litigation when the President Obama at that time wanted to do the deferred action for the parents of the U.S. citizens. And that case was being held up by the Fifth Circuit, and a similar concept was employed, which is to tell the lower court, hey, the Supreme Court term is from October to June, and if you don't let us get an argument soon, then we'll have to wait till next October to start again in order to get a decision in June. And so that's why they have this sense of urgency here.
So the Ninth Circuit has ruled against Trump on the travel ban and his proposed ban on transgender soldiers in the military. Is the government anticipating that the Ninth Circuit is going to rule against it on DACA? Is that why it's so concerned about getting the case to the Supreme Court?
Correct. They believe that based on the way the oral argument went and based on past immigration decisions from the judges on that three-judge panel, the DACA case, that they believe that there's no doubt that that case is going to go against the government, and so they want to move it to a court where they view they have a more likely favorable outcome here, and also to sort of get this DACA issue within the courts resolved so that they can return it back to Congress.
That's Leon Fresco, partner at Holland & Knight, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time, here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. 5:56 now on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg ETF report with Bloomberg's Pim Fox.
Want to invest in gold? Yes, there are ETFs for that, but there's a battle going on. Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence, is here to tell us more. What's happening with gold ETFs?
Yeah, the fee war that we hear about spread to gold, and it's spread to a point that I haven't seen, which is the Granite Shares Gold Trust has come in and cut its fee to 0.1749. So it kind of split a basis point, and it's now 51/100 cheaper than two other gold ETFs, GLDM and AAAU, which charged 18 basis points. So even in the gold area, the fee war is intense, and frankly, it's probably because it works. Usually money does follow the cheapest ETF.
Does it really make a difference, though, when they're already relatively inexpensive?
No, this is a rounding error. I just think that when you are technically the cheapest, that's how people screen for ETFs these days. So you would show up at the top of that search.
Thanks very much, Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. This has been the Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Pim Fox.
All right, Pim, thanks. The Bloomberg ETF Report brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs.
And futures this morning, they're higher. S&P futures up 2 points, Dow futures up 17, NASDAQ futures up 13, the 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 3.17%, and the yield on the 2-year, 2.87%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 29 cents to $68.94 a barrel, and COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.40 to $12.31.50 an ounce. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.